Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Lenten season, we focus our attention on the Lord's Prayer. Week by week, we will consider the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Tonight, on this Ash Wednesday, we begin with the introduction. Our Father, who art in heaven. What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. In the beginning, the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. In like manner, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Thus, in the beginning, man and the woman taken out of man were dust, formed from the very matter, the very substance that made up God's creation. Having been formed from the dust, they were dust, nothing more, till the breath of God was breathed into them. Before that, they were lifeless and inanimate. But with the breath of God, Adam and Eve became living beings, souls, truly alive, created in God's own image, after his own likeness, his dear and true children. And as his dear and true children, God blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. He gave them dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. They were given every plant yielding seed, every tree with seed in its fruit for food. They were given to each other, that they might hold fast to each other, the two becoming one flesh. Created in God's image, after his likeness, they were unashamed, were naked, before each other and before God, nothing to hide. Again, Adam and Eve were God's true children, and God was their true Father. Their life, their joy, their very meaning and purpose was found in him and in him alone. God, who created all things in heaven and on earth by the word of his mouth, breathed life into them. And then he continued to take care of them day after day. In God, they lived and moved and had their being, filled with his Holy Spirit, possessing every good gift and every perfect gift that comes from above. God's children, they reflected their heavenly Father in every single thought, word, and deed. As children, their lives were bound to God. And that was very good, for that was exactly the way their Father wanted it. But again, without God, they were nothing. That was exactly what Satan wanted. Satan wanted to sever their relationship with God. Satan wanted to estrange them from their heavenly Father. He wanted to rip their life away from life in God. And so he tempted them to believe that God was not, in fact, a dear father to them, that he had not been truthful to them, that he did not love them, and that he would not daily and richly provide all that they needed to support their bodies and lives. He deceived them and misled them to think that they would be better as orphans, emancipated from God. He tempted them to believe that the only reasonable course of action for them was to seek to become gods without God himself. be gods all by themselves, independent, self-sufficient, free, without a father to restrict and restrain them. Eating the devil's lies, Eve took of the fruit of the tree which God commanded them not to eat, and she ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. They sinned against God, their loving Father. The lies of the devil became evident. Having disobeyed the command of God, they were not happy. They were not better off. They were not free. But instead, sorrow, sickness, condemnation, and slavery, death and hell became their lot. Because of their sin, God laid upon Adam a curse. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust. Dust you shall return. This curse still shadows all creation, which groans in bondage to corruption, though not willingly. In particular, it dark shadow over us all. For we are all children of Adam, born in his own likeness, after his image. We, like Adam our father, are children of dust. Your sins reveal that. They reveal that you are not perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Your sorrows and sufferings reveal that also. They reveal that you are not nearly as self-sufficient or as free as you might think you are. You can't even keep yourself from catching a cold, let alone a terminal disease. Your death, ultimately your death, will reveal it. It will show in the end that you are no God at all. Your life barely lasts a century, if even that. You are dust. Dust you shall return. For you are a child of dust, born in the image and after the likeness of Adam, the man of dust. But even as the curse continues throughout the generations, so also continues the tempter in his lies. Even still, bearing the weight of death, the devil would deceive us and mislead us to think that we can have life in ourselves by rejecting God as Father. He deceives us to think that God is still a liar, that God is still unloving, that God is still holding back what we need and want. And so the devil still lies to us. He still deceives us. He still tempts us to think that we are better off to throw God aside, to cast aside his will, to discard his ways, so that we can chart our own course, to set our own path, to do it our own way. God's having laws of our own. But this course ends only in despair. Path only ends in death. Way only ends in eternal condemnation and hell. Today, Ash Wednesday, different call goes out to you. Call that ought to ring much more loudly in your ears than the devilish call from Satan. This is the call to repentance. A call to repentance that rings out tonight just as it did through the prophet Joel long ago. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Tonight, hear this cry and repent of your sins. Turn away from the devil. Turn away from his lies that appeal to your pride. Turn away from your own works, your own ways, your own worthless attempts to make yourselves gods. Repent. Confess yourselves to be poor, miserable sinners. Confess that you have offended God by all your sins and iniquities. Confess that you justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. Confess that you are dust. With dust that we began the service this evening, with these very words that we received the mark of dust and ashes upon our foreheads. These words, these ashes, serve to remind us of a truth that ought to be inescapable. We will die, for the wages of sin is death. You well know these ashes are not a sacrament. They don't bestow God's favor. They don't work forgiveness of sins. Rather, they are a worthwhile human tradition to serve as a sign of our mortality, to mark us as sinners, but repentant sinners. Ashes have been used in this way throughout the centuries, even going back to the days of the Old Testament. In repentance, all infants, children, adults, the elderly, men, women, pastors, lay people, all are invited to be marked with ashes. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, all must return to the dust someday. But remember also how these ashes have been marked on your foreheads. They have been marked in the sign of the Holy Cross. In this way, these ashes serve not only to remind you of your mortality, your sin, of repentance, but also of your salvation and the forgiveness of sins, which is yours in Christ Jesus. For the Lord God, who cursed man rightly and justly, declaring that he would one day return to the ground out of which he was taken, dust returning to dust, also promised in that very hour that a Savior would come, the offspring of woman, who would bruise the serpent's head, who would destroy him and his offspring, sin, death, and hell once and for all. And in the fullness of time, God fulfilled that promise. For he who once formed man of dust from the ground became flesh and blood himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, eternally begotten of the Father, the only Son of God, fullness of time, took on a human body like yours and mine in the womb of his mother, the Virgin Mary. A real man in real flesh, he really suffered all the curses of this world, just as we ourselves do. He grew weary. He suffered, toiled. He died. He who never sinned took on himself the curse of sin in order to end the curse. He who did not deserve death died in order to defeat death. And by his death, death is truly defeated. By his bearing of the curse is truly ended. For Christ, who died, could not be held in death. He could not be claimed by the grave. After 3 short days' rest in the tomb, our Lord Jesus Christ rose to life, life unending, Easter Sunday. It was with Christ, so shall it be with all who believe in Christ. St. Peter writes in our epistle this evening, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us the precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption of the world that is in the world because of sinful desire. These promises of God Promises made to you not because of your works or merits. Promises made even while you were yet sinners. They are truly precious and very great. The promise that you share, have a fellowship, a communion with God and His divine nature through faith. The promise that there is an escape, a rescue for you. That you will someday be delivered from this corruption and decay and ruin that infests the world because of sinful lust and desire. You will most certainly be given an entrance, a welcome into the eternal, glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns to all eternity. God, your loving Father, makes these precious and very great promises to you because you are by grace His dear children. He made these promises to you first in your baptism and continues to make these promises to you day after day after day. In baptism, you were marked with the sign of the Holy Cross as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Water and the Word, your sins were washed away. And you were received as true and dear children of the Heavenly Father. Through holy absolution, that is God's word of forgiveness. He, your Father, creates in you a clean heart. He, your Father, renews in you a right spirit. The Lord's Supper, you receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which strengthens you and preserves you in your body and soul into life everlasting. Therefore, in Christ, sharing in His divine life by grace alone, through faith alone, you truly have life. You are truly alive before God, your Father. And even your very body, which for now is subjected to the curse of sin and death, even your body shall be raised. Raised perfect and imperishable. Raised glorious and powerful. Raised flesh and blood, yes, but flesh and blood like that of your Lord Jesus Christ, who is exalted above the heavens. Grace, for Jesus' sake, you are truly God's beloved children, and He is truly your loving Father in heaven. Tonight, though your sins are many and great, hear the cry of the Lord through His word. Return to me, for I am gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As beloved children, with all boldness and confidence, return to the Lord, repent of your sins, and cling to Jesus, your Savior. Fear not, for Christ has borne the curse of sin for you, paid the wages of sin, which is death in full. Now in mercy, God the Father welcomes you to Himself through His Son. Yes, it's true. Because of the sin of your father, Adam, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But through the righteous act of the one man, Jesus Christ, grace reigns through righteousness leading to eternal life, which means that someday Christ is returning. And on that day, He will cry to you, arise. From your dusty grave, you will stand forth, alive, glorious, righteous in His sight, holy and eternal, reflecting the image of your beloved Father in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.